Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message, Bigfoot and the Bermuda Triangle. The title of the message today is Bigfoot and the Bermuda Triangle. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 6 today. But before I start this Sunday, I want to say Jesus is the man. He is the man. But there is a problem with saying he's the man. Some would want to take that literally, and they would be right because Jesus is the man. But Jesus is God, not a God. Jesus is many things, a prophet, a teacher, a man, and many religions or individuals just like to say he's one of those things. But Jesus is God. He is part of the Trinity. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." The language is passive. Grace entered time and space at a particular time. So this means that Jesus, who is the grace of God, appeared at a particular time to offer salvation to all people. Grace stepped in to time from eternity, placed human skin on, and walked with us. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 through 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love." Jesus was to be the Savior and Lord of our lives before the foundation of the world was created and brought forth. God knew the plan of redemption even before there were men or women, and he knew in order for salvation to take place, Jesus had to put on flesh and blood, become one of us, and join temporal time to save us. Now, John will talk about a heresy that was taking place at the church at the time. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." Water and blood came forth when Jesus was pierced with the spear on the cross, but there is more to that. The heresy at the time, and somewhat today as well, Jesus was just a mere man. He was just a human. And I've heard unbelievers, when I ask them about him, they will say things like this, "Well, Jesus was just a prophet." Muslims will tell you that. "Jesus is one of our prophets." Then I will say, "So he's a prophet in your faith?" And they will say, "Yes." "Well, didn't Jesus say in John 14, 6 through 7, Jesus answered, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you will do know him and have seen him.'" All that is singular, emphatic. He is the only way to heaven. And he said, "If you saw him, you saw God the Father." Also, he said, "I and the Father are one." Then I say, "So then you believe Jesus is God and he is one with the Father." And they go, no, "He's just a prophet." Well, prophets prophesy, and prophecy has to be true or they are a false prophet. And Jesus said he is God, so he must be, because he is a prophet in your faith, huh? And then they get all upset. Or people like to tell me, "You know, Jesus, he was just a good man. He did good things." They taught in their Gnosticism at the time that Jesus was only a man until the baptism, when God's anointing came on him and then left him after the crucifixion. John has been arguing this through the whole epistle. But what this is saying is that redemption is what took place at both of those events. Jesus identified with man at the baptism and began the work of redemption there. Then at the end of that, he bled out on the cross at the work of redemption, which was completed. He is God the whole time. He does that. He was born of the Spirit and later empowered him for ministry, and he was led and offered himself through the Spirit, and his Spirit raised him from the dead. It is the same for us. We are born again by his Spirit, then empowered by his Spirit. Then we are led through life by his Spirit, and we surrender ourselves daily through his Spirit. And one day, like him, we'll be raised by his Spirit. We read his Spirit bears truth. His Spirit came upon Mary for the virgin birth. His Spirit sent him into the wilderness, led him where he needed to go, gave him strength and healing power, exousia power. His Spirit was there and raised him from the dead. Then John says, we overcome because his Spirit who was there and indwells in us now will overcome. Praise be to Jesus for that. Verse 7 says, for there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. There is an issue here because of what scholars call the Johnine comma. If you read the same verse in the King James Version, it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. This is not in most ancient manuscripts. And scholars will say these don't appear, Johnine comma, till many centuries later. I just want to get scholarly for a moment to affirm some things, and they are important. First, they said it was in no manuscripts, but it was found in the Codex Ravanius 61, which was rewritten from the Conclusion Polyglot Bible. It was in the marginal notes of the Greek manuscript 88 and 629. It's quoted by Cynthian at Carthage in 250 AD, also by two Spanish bishops in 385 AD, Priscillian and Adacius, quoted by many African bishops from 430 to 480 AD in arguments against Arianism, also Cassiodorus in 480 AD, an Italian minister. Also, we have Greek structural problems without these additions. And when you remove it from the genders, the nouns don't agree, and the grammatical rule says they need to agree. So they do appear according to the early church. But whether it's there or not, the Trinity is being affirmed here. And this is valid for John's time and the Gnostic garbage happening, and is valid for our time as well, with all the Gnostic junk in our day too. Which Arianism was that Jesus Christ was created by God the Father at one point in time, and is subordinate to the Father, created by Arius, who lived from AD 250 to 336, and was in Alexandria, Egypt, which that's why this is important. As there is a Trinity in Scripture, and Arius was wrong. Which, if the comma is not there, there is still other areas where the Trinity is affirmed. There are people and religions that will tell you there is no Trinity, and that is blasphemous. The foundation of the world, the Trinity created it. The Trinity created man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, which confuses Jews. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. John chapter 1, verse 1. One religion changed the language, but it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When Jesus was baptized, he was in the water. The Spirit hovered over him, and God the Father said, he is pleased. The Trinity was all together at Jesus' baptism. Here's how I enjoy putting it too. You have a body. That body is the same 17 elements that make up dirt. People place such emphasis on the body. I hear about it all the time. Wow, that dirt suit is hot. Look at that woman. She's got a hot dirt suit. But they dress it up. They spray it to smell nice. They use toothpaste and mouthwash. They work it out. They exercise it. But it's just a suit. And it'll one day go into the ground. We dress it all up when we die. We place it on view for all to see. And we say that person died, passed away, stopped breathing. But there is more to that. You have a soul. It makes up who you really are. It is unique, and it's what's really important. The soul travels in the body, and when we fall in love, it should not be with the dirt suit, because the body gets old, it gets out of shape, it smells. But we should love the deeper parts of the person, that soul. Because when we stop breathing, that's the body. But the soul, the more important part, does not stop. It leaves the body when death occurs. Then you have a spirit. But because of sin, you're born with a dead spirit. But at some point in your life, hopefully, you accept Jesus as your Lord, then your spirit is infused with God's spirit and made alive. That transformation causes you to wake up. It causes you to see in a way that you never saw before. His spirit begins to teach you how to truly live in this life. Then, when your body dies, and it will die, the dirt suit will be gone. Your soul and your dead spirit, if you've never accepted Jesus, will go to judgment, and you'll be judged and placed in a place of torment. Then one day be cast into the lake of fire for just one reason only. You never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. The one infused with God's Spirit will bypass the white throne of judgment because of only one thing. They accepted Jesus as Lord, and their spirit is raised from the dead to be with the Lord. Then, in the last resurrection, our bodies will be raised. They will be made new and will join again with us. And that is the central part of Christianity. We will rise again. The dirt suit's going to rise, and we're going to be transformed into a new body with a soul and a spirit, and they will all join, just like Jesus, and be one. Body, soul, and spirit. An infallible Trinity. A fallible Trinity. So if we are three parts in one, if you have a body and a soul and a spirit, and we're God's children, then why wouldn't he be three in one? Because he is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one. The Word says it. Verse 9, we accept human testimony. That's important. I want you to focus on that for a minute. But by God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his Son. This is a part of life. We live in this world and continually, the Greek says, believe what men say daily. We believe the news and the media. I heard a sermon yesterday. Don't believe the news. We believe the weathermen when we wake up. And then it rains when they say it's going to have sun, and it's not, it's going to snow, and it doesn't snow. We believe what we read on Facebook and Twitter. And guess what? They're wrong sometimes. I love when people post on Facebook and Twitter, and they're like, oh, this Trump's doing this, and Hillary's doing that. And they post something from like Bob's website. It's not even a valid website. And they're all fired up about it. Because they're wrong sometimes. But we still listen. We still believe what is wrong. We believe every February a groundhog can tell us when the winter's going to end. Some people actually believe that. We believe there's a brontosaurus named Nessie in Loch Ness, but we don't believe there are brontosauruses anymore. We had to change all that. That there's a triangle in the middle of the ocean near Bermuda that sucks people up into another world. That the inside of the earth is hollow and the moon is made out of cheese. Yes, people believe that. We believed as kids, because MTV reported it, that Def Leppard died in a plane crash. They're still alive. We believed Michael Jackson died of a heart attack. Then he let everybody know that he faked his death. Then a year later, he really died. And we're supposed to believe that. That there's an underwater city where people live called Atlantis. And women with half-fish bodies make siren noises and call sailors to their deaths. That the chemtrails that jetliners spread daily through our sky are toxins that are killing us to lower the population explosion. That global warming was man-made and created by Al Gore, who also created the internet. That the moon landing was faked. There's a deliberate dumbing down of education, and there is a cure for cancer on the shelf somewhere because the drug companies make money off of people dying. That Elvis is living today, and he works at a Burger King. There is an alien spacecraft in Area 51, and they get it out every once in a while to create crop circles in someone's fields or fly across Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. That Bigfoot is roaming the woods. I mean, it could be true. Yep, they could be true or false, but we will believe the testimony of men and follow what they tell us. People even tell you Christianity is a conspiracy. Look at the verse again. It says in verse 9, we accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. The witness of God is greater than his testimony, which we have an internal testimony. We know because we know, and that's hard to explain to a non-believer. We know and learn through our five senses. We also go to school and we learn, but this says these things are spiritually discerned. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. We don't literally taste him with our tongue or see him with our physical eyes. Jesus said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, we're not literally eating him and drinking his blood. There is something that takes place inside of us that is unexplainable. It is the most difficult part of atheism. Atheists want to figure God out. They use their brains. They say God is not real because of this or that or this. When God is an experiential God that can never be figured out. John Wesley's heart was strangely warmed when he got saved, but before then was attempting to figure out salvation. He saw people get saved and wondered why he could not get saved himself. That strangely warmed part is the unexplainable part. I got saved at 9:30 p.m. at night in my car as God's Holy Spirit changed me. I tell that to a non-believer and they think that I'm nuts. It was experiential. I changed. I was complete 180 degrees different. We will continually listen to what people say. This verse says whether they are right or wrong, but there is an internal witness that is greater and testifies in us. Verse 10 says, whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. This is central. You don't believe in God. This is central to believing. You call God a liar when you refuse to believe the testimony he is giving in regards to the Son. Jesus said of his Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 8, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. God's Holy Spirit is in the world convicting it of sin and righteousness and judgment. Non-believers do not want to hear about sin. You tell them God says it, Jesus says it, the Bible says it, and they don't want to hear it. Why? Because they are convicted. The unsaved person is calling God a liar and refuses to hear it. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and challenged them and said they're getting close to blaspheming the Spirit and all sins will be forgiven except that one. Because the blaspheming of the Spirit is the refusal to accept Jesus Christ as he is. Well, Jesus was just a good man. Blaspheming the Spirit. Jesus was just a prophet. Blaspheming the Spirit. Jesus was not born of a virgin. Blaspheming the Spirit. Jesus is not part of a Trinity. Blaspheming the Spirit. Jesus is not God. Blaspheming the Spirit. The point is there is an unpardonable sin. Murder is forgivable. Adultery, forgivable. Immoral lifestyle choices, forgivable. Anger and bitterness, God will forgive all of those. The unpardonable sin is rejecting Jesus, the Son of God, for who he is, because he is Savior, Lord, King of Kings, and he is God and part of the Trinity. He sent his Son to save us from sin, and if you don't believe that testimony, you are calling him a liar. The Purpose-Driven Life was a book that was popular in Christian and non-Christian circles because everyone is searching for their purpose in life. My dogs aren't sitting around all day contemplating the purpose of life. They are wondering when I will give them a treat next or play with them. Humans have an inside nature to ponder purpose. They also can deny it, and it sobers them up. And I've seen it when they're standing next to a loved one in a coffin, and I saw it the other day, and they face the finality. They look and think, what is next after this? This is the testimony, eternal life through the Son. All of this is definite article in these next verses. And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this is life, is in his Son. God has given us life, definite article, only through his Son Jesus. Verse 12, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Whoever has Jesus, definite article, has life, singular. Who does not have the Son of God, definite article, does not have life. If you've accepted Jesus, you are in the position of eternal life, which means you are ruined for life. You have Jesus infused with you, and you can never be satisfied with doing worldly things and being in sin rants out anymore. That's how you know from chapter 3 you are fighting a new battle. You will never be happy if you have Christ inside of you. You'll never be happy with worldly things. You can have joy in Christ, but you will never be happy all the time. You are fighting a new battle. Verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so you may know that you have eternal life. So guess what? If you believe Elvis is alive and God is dead, that is scary to me. But if you don't have God's Spirit infused with yours, I totally understand why you don't believe in God, but you believe that Elvis is alive. I see it all the time. I see it on Facebook all the time. If you believe in Jesus, if you scroll down, Satan's going to get you. Satan's going to get you. And then I see Satan arm wrestling with God like it's actually a battle. That Satan's actually as big as God. That's not biblical. Like and share and you're going to be blessed. My favorite ones are when there's a big pile of money in a pitcher. It says, if you like this, in 24 hours, God's going to bless you with a wad of cash. Because people will believe human things, but they won't believe that God is a Trinity, that they need Jesus as Savior and Lord in their lives, that they need to live their lives for Christ. And it says that in the Bible. So I'm not surprised when people are believing stuff on Facebook. Or they're believing things and I'm looking and thinking, man, how wrong is that? Because we're made to do that. Because the Bible says that. We're going to follow human ideas. So when someone out there believes that they're an alien species, or that they're some, you know, there's some crazy mixed up something, I'm not surprised, because it says we'll follow those things. My hope is that you'll follow Jesus. My hope is that you'll start believing in what Jesus says he is. Because if you don't, then he says, you're not really saved. He says it, not me. John says it. Jesus says it. And if you get mad at me for saying it, well, guess what? I'm not the one who originally said it. So go on believing in Bigfoot. Go on believing in the Keksberg alien spacecraft. That's fine. Or the Bermuda Triangle. But I hope that you will believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That he is the Trinity. That he was born of a virgin. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would help people to understand. But Lord, I understand when people don't have your Spirit, that they're going to believe a lot of weird stuff anyway. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would have your hand upon those people, and that you would open their hearts, that you give them a chance to understand who Jesus is. And Father, in that, Lord, I give you praise and I give you thanks. Be with us today. Help us to believe and to know your Trinity. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the image scroller and subscribe to this podcast. And remember, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.